Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Amen. Well, look at that. We've got some of you staring at the screen trying to find your face. Some of you, we weren't sure if you were actually in or not, so we left you out. So, no, I'm just kidding. No way. But, you know, we took these off of Facebook. So if you got a Facebook, it's public. We took it off there. So don't get upset with us if we stole your image and we're using it. But that's a bunch of faces of impact people in the cross here. How many saw that was a cross? Did you figure it out? Isn't that great? So awesome. You know, we've had people here who helped us out with that. Sharon was here for days shivering with it. We didn't turn the heat on for her, so it was awesome. But she did a lot of cutting and setting up and frame that and got help from our staff. And just thank you for that. But it's all about faces. We're going to do several weeks talking about faces because, you know, God's all about people. God's not just, I'm God, everybody pay attention. God loves you. And he loves his creation, and he wants family. And, you know, in all that he does, it's all about people. And at the cross and in this story of Easter, there's an awful lot of people who are touched and impacted. And we're hoping this Easter that a lot of people have a face-to-face encounter with Almighty God and experience his goodness and his grace. Because at the cross, he came face-to-face with humanity. And he cried out in a big, loud voice, I love you. And so we want every person, every face to experience the goodness of God. Can I get a hallelujah? So we're going to deal with some people, some real faces in the story. And today we're going to deal with a guy named Peter. So we're going to talk about Peter's. His name was Simon. And the Lord said, you're going to change your name to Cephas, which was Aramaic, which was Peter. And so we're going to go to Luke chapter 22, 31 and 32, a whole bunch of scriptures looking at Peter. Now here we are, we're in the Passion Week. Today is the beginning of the Passion Week, and today is where Jesus had the triumphal entry coming into Jerusalem. It's where they waved the palms, and this year we didn't get any palms, sorry about that, but you can wave these palms, ready? So wave your palms and sing a glad Hosanna. Hosanna. So this was it. This is when Jesus came in, and here's what he declared, justice for all. He came to town and declared justice for all. And he went on a full on from that point. He came into full conflict with religion and every opposition. He immediately went to the temple and said, I've been dying to do this. And he kicked all the money changers out and booted out everything that wasn't of his father. He says, man, I was dying to do this. And it got ugly. And he sat down, he's fashioning a whip, and his disciples like, what are you making there? It looks like he's making a whip. Jesus, you making a whip? I am. He must be really mad at Peter again. My God. But he fashioned a whip, and then he walked into his father's house. And he said, this house is to be a house of prayer for the nations. You turned it into a den of robbers. And he straightened stuff out. Why? Because he had the authority to, and why? Because he knew what his father's house was all about. He's going to come to his house again. What if revival was a whip? I mean, my goodness. We got all these signs of revival, you know, oil and dove and all that. But that was a Rip Snorton WWE MMA revival. You know, that's good stuff. But here we are in the Passion Week, and Peter's involved in this. And in the Last Supper, Jesus is there, and he's having a conversation with his disciples, and he's explaining so much to them there in that last meal. So much is being expressed to them. And he's like, you guys can barely take this, and I know the Spirit is going to come, and he's going to lead you into all truth, and you're going to begin to understand what I'm sharing with you. But a part of this whole journey, he turns to Simon and says, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, this is absolutely true, Simon. Satan has asked for you. He's asked for you that he might sift you as wheat. What? Like, really? Me? Yeah. Indeed. He has asked for you. He wants to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. I've prayed that your faith should not fail and that when you have returned, isn't that interesting? When you've returned, well, where am I going? Going to go on a little bit of a journey, but it's all good because I'm going to be with you. And I've prayed for you. and you're going to return. And when you do return from this little trip, he says, listen, he says, when you return to me, strengthen your brethren. Wow, I don't know about you, but I'd walk away from that service going, that was a little odd, wasn't it? I'm not sure I'm into that word, but anyways, you know. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for that strong word. Mark chapter 14. Go to Mark chapter 14. Verse 66. It says, now Peter was below in the courtyard, and one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and when she saw Peter warming himself by the fire there, she looked at him and she said, you also were with Jesus of Nazareth. You're one of those guys. I've seen you with him. I know you're one of them. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you are saying. And he went out to the porch, and the rooster crowed. Now, how many of you have heard the rooster crow recently? We don't hear a lot of roosters. I was in Jamaica. You know what I heard? I heard some roosters crowing and some dogs barking. But, you know, it's not often in our culture that you hear roosters early in the morning, but it was very normal to them. Now, when I'm in India, hearing roosters crow early in the morning, very common, and dogs barking, you know, but it's not that common for us. Like, when's the last time here in London your window was open and you heard the rooster crow, you know? I live fairly close to Bobby, and I haven't heard him in a long time either, so, but... but, you know, here it is. The rooster crowed, and the rooster crowed. Verse 69, and the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those around, saying, this is one of them. This, I'm telling you, this guy is one of them. But he denied it again. Now, here's Peter. I mean, you know, the big tough guy, the guy who, you know, hey, what are you talking about? He denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter, surely you are one of them. You're a Galilean. I can tell by your accent. I can tell by your speech that you're a Galilean. And these people, we know you're one of them. Now listen, it says verse 71, it says, then he began to curse and to swear. I think this might be a little bit of an attack on his life. He began to curse and he began to swear and he said, I do not know this man of whom you speak. And there's an exclamation mark there. Verse 72, and a second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the words that Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And when he thought about it, he wept. Luke 22, verse 60 and 62. Luke 22, 60. You know, this story is found in all four Gospels. All four Gospels. How many know that if God wants to put something in all four Gospels, he puts it there on purpose. He puts it there for a good reason. Because he wants us to know Peter had some issues. You know, I'm really glad he put it there. Because I don't know about you, but when I see Peter, I get some comfort. Because I'll just confess, you ready? I got some issues. You didn't have to throw that in. Wow, that was harsh. Luke 22, 60 to 62. I know, funny thing. You're awesome. I mean, you were identifying. Joshua, very first time he left Ontario, never left Ontario in his life. Very first time he leaves with me, 2001, to go to India on a mission trip. And so we're in the plane, and Joshua's excited. I love traveling with Joshua because he really has a servant's heart. And he really does make it a joy to travel, and he makes things easier for you. And he loves serving God, and he has anointing on his life to make your anointing better. It's just amazing. So, but we're on the plane. We get on, and I buy one of these cushions that you blow up, you know. Then you wrap it around your neck, and you can have a good sleep. So we get about an hour into the flight. I get my cushion, blow it up, put my head back to sleep. And then about half an hour later, I wake up and I'm pouring sweat. I'm like freaking out. I want to vomit. And I'm like, what is going on? I tear the cushion off, pull off my seatbelt, jump out, run to the bathroom because I'm ready to throw up. And when I get to the bathroom, the stewardess went, excuse me, I have to change the paper towels. And I went, so I was right at a bulkhead, and there was three guys, a whole bunch of guys over 50s. They're all Canadian hockey players going for an old guys tournament somewhere in Europe. But they're all pretty good. They'd knock back a few of the free liquors on the way over, so they were having fun. So I'm there, and I'm holding on. All of a sudden, bam, I just went pow, right out right in front of these guys. Next thing I know, all I can hear is, Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And I opened my eyes, I looked up and went, wow, how long have I been out? You know, and I was really only out about 30 seconds, no more than a minute. But when I got up, I felt great. So Joshua healed me on the airplane. It was awesome. I think he was thinking, I've never been out of the country before, never been on an airplane before, and now I'm going with this pastor and he's dying on the plane. Oh my God, help me. But that was a lot of fun. So we've had a lot of fun together. It's good stuff. So immediately when he was speaking, the rooster crowed and he turned and he looked at Peter. Listen to that. The Lord turned and he looked at Peter. I mean, here's Jesus already beaten to a pulp, already, you know, experiencing all of what it means to redeem us. He's already been through all these accusations, these lashings and all these things. And while he's being questioned and beaten and mocked, he hears the crow and he turns and he catches Peter's eye. And I don't think it was one of those looks of, told you, you dirty dog. I think it was one of those looks of, I know his heart's probably breaking right now. And I want to catch his eye, Peter. Because he'd prayed for him not to fail. He'd prayed for his return and his restoration. But it had to be pretty overwhelming to hear that. You hear the rooster crow, you remember the words, then you turn around and go like, oh, wow. Pretty dark place for the poor guy. Peter remembered the words he had said to him before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Okay. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Babe Ruth. How many remember Babe Ruth? How many have heard the name Babe Ruth? How many have eaten a Babe Ruth chocolate bar? But Babe Ruth was a baseball player. And in 1923, Babe Ruth broke the record for the most home runs in a season. He also broke the record for the highest batting average that year. And in 1923, Babe Ruth struck out more times than any other player in Major League Baseball. And here's Peter, you know, strike one, strike two, strike three. But you know, Babe Ruth, he struck out more than anybody else, but he had a better batting average than anybody else, which meant he hit more balls than anybody else, and he hit more balls out of the park than anybody else. But you know what? You gotta show up. You gotta show up if you're gonna make some contact. And sometimes I think we pick on Peter, but you know, while everybody else was looking and listening, going, wow, I'd like to respond, but I'll just kind of, you know, wisdom is sometimes people mistake you for being wise if you just shut up. So I'm just going to be quiet here. But Peter couldn't help himself. I mean, Peter showed up. Peter was engaged every single time. Sometimes he was engaged the wrong way, but you know what? He was always there. He was ready. He was ready to jump in and participate. You know, I had one year where in a month I had 5 speeding tickets. It was just bad. And I remember one time I was really driving, and then whoa, the guy pulls up behind me, and I went, I'm not even out of third gear. I can't be speeding. I don't know what's going on. But you know, every day I traveled from Metro Toronto, back Metro Toronto, Peterborough, Uxbridge, Port Stanley, at a large territory I covered. I had calls all over the place. Not Port Stanley, but I had a large territory, Eastern Metro, that I covered. And I'm driving every day, literally hundreds of miles, doing calls and doing stuff. And I felt like I'm just out there more. I'm exposed more. You people would get a pile of tickets too. It's just you're not out there as much as I am. I put myself out there every day. And I said that to the judge. I said, I'm just out there because they were going to take away my license. And I said, I'm just out there more than everybody. I'm just exposed more to these speed traps and all these things. And he said, so, sir, you need your license to do your job for a living. I said, I do. He said, then you should be more careful. You should be more careful than the average person. You should pay more attention than the average person. And I'm like, oh, I hate that. I thought I had a good argument. You know? But, you know, Peter was swinging for the fences all the time. You know what, folks, get engaged, get engaged. Peter, what can we learn from our friend Peter? This is Jack Hayford. It's kind of a long quote. I put it up there. I want to read it, all right? It says, as we look over Peter's life as a disciple, we see him as both a saint and a sinner, a spiritual giant and a spiritual dwarf. But in the end, we are touched and encouraged because he is so much like us. He is every man wrapped into a single person. He is the reflection of our secret ambitions fulfilled in the picture of our visible embarrassments revisited. Yet, at whatever point we see him in the span or spectrum of his exploits and his flops, whether at the pinnacle of a pratfall, Peter inevitably ends up at the right place, showing the right attitudes and aiming in the right direction en route to the right goal. We can learn a lot from Peter today. John chapter 1, verse 42, it says, "And now he brought him to Jesus." That was his brother Andrew. When his brother Andrew said, "I found the Messiah," next thing he did was he brought Jesus, or he brought Peter. "I want you to come to Jesus." Jesus looked at him and he said, "Simon, the son of Jonah, you shall be called Cephas. You shall be called Peter," which is translated stone or translated rock. And I love that. You know, the first encounter with Jesus, Jesus doesn't speak about where you are. Jesus speaks about who you are. Jesus speaks about your destiny. Jesus always sees the finished product. Jesus doesn't speak to you about your failures, about your brokenness, about what is going on in your life, but he always declares over you his purpose, his life for you, his design for you, and that's what he is absolutely committed to. Three more amens.
Amen.
Thank you. Okay, we can move on now. All right. Luke chapter 5, 6 to 8. Here's Peter, and Jesus had borrowed his boat. Jesus said, "I want to borrow your boat." And he borrowed his boat because he was there. He was prepared. He was ready. He borrowed his boat, pushed it out for a bit, and he preached on it. Then he said, "You guys come, get on your boat now and go out for a haul." And Peter's like, "Hey, I don't go fishing in the middle of the day. Nobody does that. You don't know the lakes. You're a carpenter. What do you know?" But he said, "Hey, at your word, I'm going to do it." And when he cast out his nets, they got a haul that was so big, their nets were so full, they called all their partners and all the boats started to sink because it was such a massive catch. So they caught a great number of fish and their nets were breaking. They filled both boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, it was such an incredible miracle because this does not happen. I know these seas. I know this place. This does not happen. He knew it was a miracle. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down on his knees saying, "Depart from me. I can't hang with you. You're in a whole different league. I don't know who you are, but man, that's crazy, intimidating stuff. Get away from me. I can't reciprocate. I can't have a relationship because whatever you're doing, way bigger than what I can do. And you know what? Hey, leave me alone." Right away, Peter was really touched and he felt, "Depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." But the Lord turned to him and says, "Come on, follow me. I'm going to make you a fisher of men." So we see Peter in all these experiences. Matthew chapter 14, verse 29. Verse 29 to 31, it says, "So he said, come." Now here's them in the middle of a storm. It's messy, it's bad. And then all of a sudden somebody comes walking on the water. They're looking out going, "Oh my goodness." But then Peter sees this is Jesus. So he said, "Jesus, if that's you, you can tell me to come. You can call me out to you and I can walk on the water." So Jesus said, "Come." Now tell me, can man walk on the water? No, but you can walk on Jesus' command to come. Whatever he says to you to do, you can do it because the word of God is full of power and full of strength. So if he says walk on the water, get her done. So Peter, and you know, Jesus had authority over nature, all those things. And you know what I love about Acts chapter 10:38? I want to tell you about Jesus of Nazareth. Not Jesus Christ, not Jesus, Son of God, but Jesus of Nazareth. He was a man filled with the Holy Ghost and power. I love that, don't you? So Jesus, the man, is out there walking on the water. Pretty crazy stuff. But the purpose of God involved in that. But when he saw the wind and he saw it was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out saying, "Lord, save me." But the Lord said, "You lost your faith, so suck it up, buttercup. See ya." Aren't you glad that when you step out in faith and then you start to go, "Oh my goodness," that he doesn't go, "Oh, you blew it." No, he reaches out and he grabs your hand. He'll never let you fall. I think it says that somewhere in the Bible. He'll never let you fall. Like, "Oh, there goes one. Anybody else want to get out of the boat?" But he reaches out and he grabs him. He picks him up. Immediately. "I doubted and God just turned from me. I doubted," and immediately he reached out his hand. Immediately he reached out his hand and he caught him and he said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And they walked back to the boat together. I think that's a great story. But what do we see here? Peter wants to do radical stuff. I mean, he's a guy who gets out of the boat. He's a guy who just wants to experience the full package. You know what I mean? Any of those here today? I want the whole deal. I want the full package. So he jumps out. This is the guy we're talking about. So that's in Matthew 16:16-23. Here he is. Jesus is saying, "Come on aside, guys. Come on over here. Hey, listen. Who do people say that I am? They say, well, some say you're a prophet, some say you're this, some say you're actually Elijah, some think you're John the Baptist come back to life. But then Peter all of a sudden says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Whoa! And Jesus, literally, the emotions that he had, he jumped up and he danced around and he spun around and he went, whoa! And he said, finally, a human being besides me had a God thought. Finally, a human being besides me has connected with the heavenly realm. Finally, one of these guys had an encounter with heaven and they heard the voice of God. Yes! And he said, on what you just did, Peter, what you just experienced, operating out of that revelation where you're connected with heaven and you're operating in the voice of God, that is what I'm going to build my church on. I'm going to build my church on a people who walk in revelation, who walk in faith in the unseen realm, who declare things that they hear from their Father, who are hooked up with heaven. Yes! He was so excited about that. So then Peter's like, oh, wow, pretty good. So then Jesus goes on. He says, guys, we're turning a corner. I'm headed to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer, going to go through things. And, you know, it's going to be difficult. You're going to see some difficult things. And then Peter, Jesus. Just a second, guys. I've got to talk to Jesus for a minute. Jesus, come here. You're scaring the guys, okay? Like, shh, enough of that doomsday stuff. Like, don't talk like that, because we got it, right? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so don't do that stuff anymore. Don't scare the boys. We're going to go back to Jerusalem. We're going to fight the good fight. We're going to do it. And then Jesus turns around and he says, Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. Same day, literally a few minutes later, in the same dialogue and conversation. So right away, Peter goes from, whoa, he got a revelation from the Father. Whoa, he got a revelation from the devil. Boom. I mean, right there, all in one day, he went from, whoa, to, oh, no. Satan, you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. So amazing. Have you ever done that? Been all big, God, you're amazing, you are the Christ. I'm not going to make it, oh my goodness. Got to watch yourself, got to watch your tongue, huh? Jesus said, I only do, I only say, I'm hooked up to heaven, that's my life, that's what I do. So in times when there's difficulties or misunderstanding, sometimes you just need to be quiet. All right, so Matthew chapter 17, verse 4. Here they are, they're on the Mount of Transfiguration. He takes three disciples up the mountain. He's going to show them the kingdom. What is the kingdom? I'm going to show you the kingdom. So he literally is transfigured before them, and they see Jesus in his glorified state, and they're like, whoa, pretty cool. And then all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah, whoa, this is really awesome. Now, this is where you need to pay attention. Shh. But I love this. Say then. There's a lot of thens in Peter's life, right? Then Peter. And then Peter. So then Peter's like, they're talking about his exodus. They were talking about the whole finishing of Jesus' work on the earth. They were talking about the whole wrapping up and the climax of his ministry. And then Peter just says, hey guys, I was wondering, I think it's good for us to be here. And if you wish, we could make, you know, a couple of homes for you here, right up on the mountain with a really good view of the ocean. One for Moses and one for you and one for Elijah. And we could kind of have, this is where people come to see, you know, God and the glory of God. And so we'll build a couple of houses. We'll put in a little theme park, maybe a McDonald's and a couple of things. And it'd be really, really awesome if we could set you guys up and we could build this awesome. I was kind of thinking I'd help you guys out now because obviously something really cool is going down right now and I want to be involved. Then the Father speaks, shut up. This is my son. Listen to him. And then it's all gone. And then they only saw Jesus. Then they came down the mountain and God, you know, they saw God working and helping people. But Simon's always, those then Simons, then Peter. John 18 verse 10 says, then Simon Peter. I mean, here he is, you know, he tells them all about what's going to go on. And then they were supposed to be praying, but Peter was sleeping. And then they come to arrest him. And it says, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and he struck the high priest's servant, cut off his right ear. Not on my watch. I took your ear, pal. I'm telling you what's next. Don't mess with us. And Jesus is like, stop it. Like, what are you doing? He said, don't do that. And then Luke 22:51, it says, but Jesus answered, said, permit even this. Stop it. It's not a fight here. I'm going to go willingly. Permit it. And then he picks up the guy's ear and puts it back on his head. Now, I would think if I was arresting somebody and he did that, I'd kind of go, should we be arresting this dude? That was pretty cool. But they still arrested him. And it was so great when they said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. Are you him? He said, I am. They all slain in the spirit, the whole crowd. Then they all got back up. So you're Jesus? I am. Okay, let's not ask him again. Let's just take him. And they still arrest him. It's really amazing. That's because he went willingly. He went willingly. Nobody took his life. He laid it down. Nobody had the right or the authority to take it. But he had the right to give it. And he had the right to take it up again. He's such a good God. But here's Peter trying to get through it, trying to muddle through it with his own humanness, trying to figure all these things out. John 21:1-15. Not going to read the whole thing. But then Jesus, the disciple that Jesus loved, said to Peter, it's the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work. I always find this one amazing, right? So I'm working away, you know, in my Under Armour, and all of a sudden I see it's Jesus, so I get fully clothed to jump in the water. It's just kind of strange. But anyway, he puts all his garments on, he jumps in the water, and he swims all the way to shore. And listen to this, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter. Now this is after the resurrection, and Peter didn't know what was going on. He's confused about the whole program. So he says, guys, maybe we should go fishing. Maybe we should go back fishing. So they went to Galilee, they're back fishing, and they're fishing. And sure enough, one thing we know in the scripture is that Peter can't catch fish. Because every time we show up, the nets are empty and nothing's going on. But he's a great candidate for a miracle. Amen? So go fishing with Wally. Wally knows how to catch fish. Peter, not so good. Anyways, here it is. They're there. And then he said, hey, guys, you got any fish? And they're, oh, no, nothing going on. Put your net on the other side. They're going, Put their net on the other side, and they get a great haul of 153 fish. Some say 153 is that last day haul of 153 different ethnic groups in the world today that are all going to come into the kingdom. Every tribe, every tongue, every people group. So then they see this great thing, and Peter knows it's him, dives in the water, and he begins to swim, and he goes all the way. But I love this, that here's Jesus. He comes, and he sees these guys fishing. He knows they're there. But before he does anything, he gets some wood. He puts it down, and he goes, fire! I call fire out of heaven! And he makes a bed of coals. No, he doesn't call fire. He just, Jesus, the resurrected Christ, gathers some wood, pulls it together on the seashore, and he starts to build a bed of coals. He pulls together some stuff. He brought some other stuff for breakfast. And he's like, hey, guys, you got any fish? And then he calls them in for breakfast. Isn't that great? Don't you like breakfast? Don't you like a nice breakfast meeting? And Jesus himself making that bed of coals because he's cooking breakfast and he wants to have it with you. But here's Peter. He's just been through this horrible experience where he denied Jesus. He went through this painful thing. And here's Jesus ready to cook breakfast. Now look at this verse right here. 1 Corinthians 15:46. What comes first? The natural body, then the spiritual body comes later. What comes first is the natural body, and then the spiritual body comes later. I think it's really, really cool that the first thing Jesus wanted to do is, I got a fire. Come and get warm. Come. And you probably chilled because you threw all your clothes on and dove in the water. So come on over here. Get warmed up. And I got a fire here. We're going to make you some breakfast. We're going to get you with a full belly. We're going to get you warm and satisfied. And then we're going to address some spiritual issues. I think that's a pretty neat pattern, don't you? There's a lot of broken people out there that need that kind of pattern, where we actually get down and we serve. We make that fire, that bed of coals. We prepare for them. We want to minister to them naturally. We want to reach people where they're at. We want to touch them where they are. And then, hey, having some fellowship together where your natural needs are cared for. Let's talk about your spiritual issues. So here's what he's doing. So how loving of Jesus to feed Peter before he dealt with the spiritual needs. He gave Peter an opportunity to dry off, get warm, satisfy his hunger, and enjoy personal fellowship with the Lord. All right, let's go to John 21, 15 to 19. John 21, 15 to 19. Because he said, Peter, after you return, I've prayed for you, and after you return, strengthen your brothers. So sure enough, we're having the conversation now. So how many times did Peter deny Jesus? How many times? Three times. So here in this conversation, I didn't put them all up there for you, but he said, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Did he mean, do you love me more than the other disciples? I don't think so. Do you love me more than fishing? Do you love me? You know, what is it? More than all this, I mean, do you love me? But here's Peter now. There's Greek words for love, and there's a couple that were used here. The one that Jesus used was, do you agapeo me? Do you, as an act of your will, are you fully devoted to me? And Peter said, Lord, you know I phileo you. Phileo is, we're very fond, we're very close friends, you know that. And then he said again, well, listen, Peter, do you agapeo me? And he could just feel Peter go, man, it's not enough that I screwed up, and now, look, I don't want to go over the top anymore. I mean, I screwed up really bad, so I phileo you. So the second time, do you agapeo me? And he's like, oh, we're really, really good friends. We're really fond of each other. But then Jesus, on the third one, he comes down. He says, Peter, do you really phileo me? Oh, man, I was kind of feeling okay changing the words around. But now he comes down right to my word, the fondness, the real friendship. Do you really phileo me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I phileo you. You know that we're very fond. But in each of those things, he said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, tend my lambs. And then he said, feed my sheep. And I love this because he says, you're going to be carried where you don't want to go. And he talked to him about the type of death he would experience. Because Peter was crucified just like Christ was, but Peter refused to be crucified upright. He was crucified upside down. Because he refused to be crucified the same way his Savior was. He didn't feel he was worthy to be crucified like he was. So Peter literally ended up giving his life, and he was crucified upside down. But here it is. This he spoke, signifying what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Follow me. Here's a real guy, a real person, a real face in the picture, just like your face. A real person having a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. Person with all of those experiences we've talked about today. But you can see that Peter, can he get past this whole thing? Can Peter get past this whole experience? I mean, is he able to return? Is he, you know, he returns to the things he's left behind. He's turned back to fishing and all those things. Is he stuck in the land of regret? Is he stuck in the place of if only? But what I love about Jesus is Jesus right now is saying, Peter, I need you. I need you. Peter, I've got a purpose for your life. What you went through, we got to put that behind. You got to drop all of that. Come here, look at me. I love you. And I've got a purpose for you. And I need you today in my purposes. And you need to hear that today. You're not, I mean, when you come to God, he does not see you as broken and fallen and messed up and hurt. He sees the finished product. He sees you. He says the devil wants to accuse you. He wants to keep on bringing up all the mess and all the ugly stuff. But there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, condemnation is what brings shame and brings all these ugly things in your life. But you know, when you come to Jesus, you don't have to worry about the regrets and the onlys and all the other stuff, because you can fix yourself and focus yourself on your purpose and on your future, because you know what? It's all done and it's all behind you. Doesn't mean you're not going to screw up again or have a problem again, but you can always keep this fixed in your mind. God doesn't see you as a problem or as a troublemaker or as a screw up. He always sees you as that finished product. Sees you as a child of God that he created for purpose and for good things. And you need to know that. When you have a face-to-face with God, you're going to encounter his purpose for your life. And he's going to free you from every other entanglement and everything that hinders you from walking and being who you are. That's true. That's true. Peter, Acts chapter 2, 14 to 41. Says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who are in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. I love this. This is a pretty powerful sermon because he straight up says, you guys crucified God's son. I mean, he went straight at them, and he just really preached a powerful message. There he was in the upper room where he was supposed to be. The Holy Spirit fell, and Peter, he stood up. Peter, God knew that Peter is the leader of this whole group. Peter is the first one who's going to open his mouth. Peter, the one who always interjected, the one who always spoke up when he shouldn't, that's the one that I'm going to use to break open the kingdom to the people of God. He's like so exciting. And Peter's the one who did it. Heed my words. And it says, those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Isn't that good? And folks, this is not like, you know, after a 6-month internship or recovery program. This wasn't, you know, 2 years of wallowing on the back row until we could feel that you're finally recovered. This is days later, weeks later. That he's standing up under the authority and power of the Holy Spirit and loosing the kingdom, loosing God into the affairs of earth. Powerful, powerful stuff. God wants to have that kind of encounter with you. When he went to the cross, he went with you on his mind, you on his heart. He did a face-to-face with you, and he wants to remove every bit of shame, every hindrance, every bit of brokenness you might have, and he wants to bring you fully into your destiny, just like he did with Peter. Amen, Pastor. So the enemy's always trying to destroy lives. He keeps you trapped in condemnation, guilt, and shame. But Easter is all about the restoration of all things. Behold, I make all things new. I make all things new. If you're trapped in any way with some type of hindrance or some type of thing that keeps you, just pulls you back every time you try to step out, you get thrown into that again. You gotta let it go. Come face to face with God, because he's removed it. As far as the east is from the west, I've removed your sin, your iniquities. I will remember no more. Not because he's forgetful, but of a choice of his own will. He will never, ever hold that against you. There's not going to be that 30 minutes in heaven where we all stop and go, oh, it's Gord Watson's movie. Watch this, all the crap Gord did. Was that a joint? Oh, my God. You don't have to worry that someday all the creepy stuff, God's going to, all right, it's Carl Thomas's film. Everybody come for that one because it's going to be really good. I was a really good sinner. So, but we got this creepy idea about God. God loves you. He's praying for you. It's the devil who's trying to screw up your life, but he's prayed for you. He's still interceding for you, and he's committed to the finished work in your life. Easter's all about a face-to-face with your brokenness and your hurt and your shame so that he can restore you to your rightful place in him. Psalm 145, verse 9. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. What's in the blank? What's in the blank for you? What's there? What is it? What is that gnawing, stupid thing that's just you're stepping out and either you fell, you did it again, you failed. You know, falling isn't bad. Striking out, who cares? Hit some home runs. You know what? Some people aren't even swinging because they're afraid. They're terrified of life. And they're not even swinging. Lord, I release blank to you right now. What do you need to put in that blank? What do you need to put there? What is it? There's little fears, little things inside of you that literally keep you up at night. You don't trust people. There's certain things you don't trust. There's certain things you're not confident about. You're not even sure that God's really, really for you. I know he's for them, and I know he wants to do that, and I don't know if he wants to do that for me. You got those doubts. You got those things that are in you. You need to let it go. Because he's for you in every way. And he's a mighty God. And he cares about you. And he wants to do great things. And all his plans for you are good. All of them to give you a hope and a future. And I want you to encounter him face to face today. And I want him to speak over you. You're not broken. You're not flimsy. You're not weak. You're strong. You're powerful. You're mighty in me. I created you for good things. I created you for exploits. Those who know their God shall be strong, and they shall do exploits. Come on, stand up with me. Jesus. Jesus. Could I get the people that are going to minister at the altar today, just our elders and any other ministry team people, can you come and just stand up the front here now? Just come on up the front. Can you do something? Just all the believers, you're all praying, just praying. Just everybody focus. Just your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Just everybody's praying. Now listen, I want to speak to you, because if you're here today and you don't know how much he loves you, you don't have that personal relationship with him where you've encountered him as your Lord and your Savior. If you don't know that, I want you to know it today. And I want you to know him as your Lord and Savior. I want you to accept him in your life, because he accepts you. He really does. He's done everything necessary for you to have a relationship with him. You've just got to accept it. And if you've never done that, but you want to do it right now, I want to pray with you. And because I want to pray with you, I just want you to identify yourself. And I'm going to go 1, 2, 3. And at 3, just put up your hand, just so you know that's the time. So you're ready? It's God. What's happening in your heart right now, what you're feeling, it's the love of God touching your life. There's nobody looking around. It's just you. But God, his eyes are on you, and he loves you. And I'm going to count to 3. And if that's you, I want you to put up your hand, because we want to pray with you, all right? You ready? Here it is. 1, 2, 3. Just throw up your hand really high so I can see it. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Just a good time right now. Right now is a really good time. Today is a really good day to just receive Jesus in your heart. It really is. Thank you. You can put your hand down. That's great. Anyone else? Anyone else? Come on, everybody. Pray with me, okay? Pray with me this. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for forgiving my sin. Thank you for giving yourself for me. I receive you right now as my Lord and as my Savior. Come into my life. Fill me with the Spirit of God. Testify with my spirit that I am a child of God. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for healing. Thank you for healing. Freedom. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's good stuff right there, huh? Now listen, if you're here today and you kind of felt like that person in the story, and you feel like, I'm just gonna chill for a while because I've goofed up too many times, Jesus wants to speak to you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to restore you to where he sees you. He wants to touch your life and impact you today. If you feel like, I've screwed up, I just do many dumb things in my life, God wants to have an encounter with you right now, and he wants to set you up to prosper and move ahead. And if there's anything that you want to just lay at the altar today and say, done, 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 there's a bed of coals, there's fresh fish, there's some lovely, you know, scrambled eggs and a couple of quiches, and I mean, he really, there's a real cup of blessing for you right here. Have you been to the altar lately? Because he wants to touch you. He wants to meet with you. He wants to speak to you about your destiny. He wants to say, Simon, you're not Simon. You're not a flimsy reed, but you're a rock of pillar and a rock of purpose. He's ready to speak to your life today. And maybe you need to come to the altar and say, hey, thank you, Jesus. Speak to me. I'm leaving it all behind, and I'm following hard after you. Whatever it is, I trust you in Jesus' name. So if that's you, the altars are open for you, and I want you to come. We're going to minister to you, and we're going to pray for you, all right? I'm going to bless you all. I'm going to send you into a beautiful day. It's been good. Hasn't it been good to be in his house today? Oh, my goodness. So good. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that we're in your house, and thank you that in your house it's a place of love, a place of just understanding. It's a place of joy. It's a place, Lord, where fetters are broken, chains are broken, and liberty and freedom comes. And I just thank you for your wonderful presence today. Lord, I bless this house, each and every one. I thank you for them. What a privilege to serve them. But I bless them now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I pray, Father, that your great love would be so revealed to each one, that your grace would just wrap and just empower each person. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your continued fellowship as you lead us and you guide us every moment of the day. So I bless them now in Jesus' precious name. Amen.